This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, an American hero is being drummed out of the Army. The reason may surprise you. I'll talk about it in just a moment. And despite the revelations that Planned Parenthood is trafficking in aborted baby body parts, the Congress approved taxpayer funding for the organization at least until December. This, combined with the deal President Obama recently negotiated with Iran over the future of their nuclear program that will significantly endanger Israel, has some saying America is in danger of divine judgment. New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger and the Mystery of the Shemitah, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, joins me. And while the federal government failed to defund Planned Parenthood, that has not kept states from cutting financial ties with the controversial organization. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal not only cut his state's funding, he is showing other governors how to do the same. He joins me with the details. For more information about today's topics and our guests, you can visit TonyPerkins.com and find all the information. Look, if an everyday American stops someone for raping a child, they'd be praised. But in the Obama administration, they're punished. To the shock of the entire country, Sergeant First Class Charles Martlin is living proof. The Green Beret, winner of 2 Bronze Stars, 1 for valor, was just informed that he will be discharged from the Army in November. For what? Well, it goes back to when he intervened in the brutal sexual abuse of a young boy that took place in Afghanistan. Now, I don't think I can summarize these actions better than Congressman Duncan Hunter, who is calling on the Army Secretary to stop this. He said this. He said, in a single confrontation, Quinn, who was the commanding officer of Martlin, and Martlin were able to do what the Afghan justice system and our own military commanders could not. They sent a message in a language and terms he could understand and wouldn't forget, end quote. What happened was there was an Afghan officer who is a part of our allies over there in Afghanistan, who had chained a 13-year-old boy to his bed and repeatedly sexually abused this boy. The mother went to rescue the boy, was beat up by the officer, and went to these American military personnel who were there to try to protect them and free them. They came there to free them from the Taliban. And now this is happening at the hands of the Afghan soldiers. Well, this has become a big issue. And earlier this week, I spoke with Congressman Duncan Hunter. And in fact, you can listen to that interview at TonyPerkins.com. He's calling on the Army to intervene and save the career of this 11-year veteran, highly decorated Green Beret. And you can help. Also at the website is a petition that you can sign that I'm going to take personally to the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator John McCain. I've already talked to him about it, and we're asking him to hold hearings to demand the Department of Defense and the Army answer questions about why they are punishing members of the military who are protecting children from this type of abuse in Afghanistan. Again, you can listen to the entire interview with California Congressman Duncan Hunter at TonyPerkins.com, and that petition is there as well. I encourage you to please, please sign that and help us defend the career of this American hero. Well, last weekend was the 10th Annual Values Voter Summit, and it's always interesting every year as I talk to attendees, especially the new ones that come, and we've got quite a few every year. Many of them are pleasantly surprised by the spiritual focus of the summit. Many of them expect the event simply to be a political rally. Of course, as you hear me say often, at the core, America's problem is not political, but it's spiritual. And one of the speakers who helped bring the spiritual aspect this year was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Now, Rabbi Kahn's best-selling book, The Harbinger, was a big hit, but he has another book out that came out this past year, The Mystery of the Shemitah, which has been the focus of a lot of discussion. And in many ways, America has turned its back on God. And I'll just have to say that's a dangerous position to be in. Joining me now is best-selling author, senior pastor, and rabbi of Beth Israel Worship Center, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Rabbi, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony.
Well, we appreciated you being with us last week at the Values Voter Summit, and you brought that spiritual emphasis of the fact that, look, we not only need to be looking at the next election, but we need to be looking at where America stands spiritually before God.
Yeah, well, we are in a very dangerous place spiritually. You know, in many ways, and this is really the theme behind the Harbinger and the Mystery of the Shemitah, is that we are following the same template, the same pattern that ancient Israel followed. That here's a nation that has known God, turning away rapidly. I mean, it's barely a day goes by when there's not another flashpoint that we cross in this, and it has only accelerated. You know, this August with the Supreme Court, you know, decision on marriage, Planned Parenthood, all these things, and you know, one of the saving graces, Tony, is that, you know, there's in the Bible there's something called, the Abrahamic Covenant, that God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. Well, it's been a saving grace that as America has been falling from the ways of God, it still has been blessing Israel. Well, that is now in danger. The relationship with America and Israel is at its worst point ever. We are now putting Israel in danger by signing this deal with Iran that even Israel has said, you're basically putting us in danger. And the Abrahamic Covenant says that, you know, what you do to Israel comes back. So if you abandon Israel, what will God do with America? If you put Israel in danger, what will happen to America? If you threaten its security, what will happen that way? You know, the President Obama has said, we're going to reassess our relationship with Israel. Well, what will God reassess with America? So it's like a perfect storm. All these things happening at the same time is very dangerous.
Now, Rabbi, some have pointed to the mystery of the Shemitah and you know, the timing on the Jewish calendar, and they say, well, that time's come and gone, and we've not seen the bottom fall out yet. But you were very clear in that God is not bound to to do the same thing the same way he has in the past.
That's right. Yeah, and every time anybody's heard me talk about it, plus in the book itself, it's saying I've warned you cannot be dogmatic about dates and times, to be aware of it, but God does not have to do that. However, what has been missed, you know, many people focused on Elul 29. This is the last day of the seven-year cycle. The last two times came the greatest crashes in American history. But at the same time, this year, the market wasn't even open on Sunday. However, because of focusing on it, that's an exceptional template. The book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, contains several templates of the way these things may play out. And the central predominant template of the Shemitah is not one of a day crash, but is one of a long-term descent, the stock market reversing, reaching its peak, reversing, going to a months-long collapse, and as it approaches the end of the Shemitah. Well, that's exactly what has happened so far. When I wrote the book, it was a bull market of years. Well, what's happened is that the Shemitah of 2015 has ended that. It did the same classic pattern, reach its peak in May, began reversing, long-term collapse has happened. And the other template, I believe I shared it with you a while back, is that the tendency is that when you reach the end of the Shemitah cycle, that's when it gets more dramatic. Well, what's happened so far, you know, in the last few months of this Shemitah, it produced Black Monday, produced the worst intraday crash in world history, produced several of the top crashes in world history, destabilized the global economy, wiped away about 16% of the French market, about 25% of the German market is wiped away, 4,000 points from the Indian market, 12,000 points from the Brazilian market, and from China, which is the new engine of the world economy, it has wiped out 40%, of the entire market. From America, nearly $2 trillion have been wiped out by the Shemitah, and I just got, I shared with you recently, I was saying, the one figure I had was $5 trillion from the world market. Well, just today, Bloomberg News came in and said basically this has wiped out $11 trillion from the world market. So it's already been gigantic. And this is the general pattern of the Shemitah. Now, if it just stops there, it is strongly manifested. But it doesn't have to stop there. One of the things is that the wake period, which is the autumn period it tends to be the most dangerous period. We'll see. But even if nothing else happened, it has powerfully happened. We're in a dangerous spot.
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is my guest. He's the author of The Mystery of the Shemitah. Rabbi, let's talk a little bit about some of these other events that are happening around the world at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not when you look at the Shemitah and the previous cycles that the country has gone through, it's not just been economic issues that we've faced.
Right.
There's been other challenges as well.
Yeah, it's usually a destabilizing, and, you know, in the world, and we're watching, I mean, a real destabilizing. I mean, it's having, you know, we just mentioned some kind of danger flashpoints, you know, the Iran deal and all these things. At the same time, and this is just recent, Tony, I mean, since we last spoke, you know, now Russia is bombing in the Middle East. This is tensions with Israel. Just yesterday, for the first time in history, the flag of Palestine was raised by the United Nations. And people don't realize, you know, Palestine is the word that the Romans came up with to erase the relationship of the Jewish people to their land that God gave. The word Palestine literally means the land of the Philistines. So here this thing rises up in the Middle East. At the same time, the same day, Abbas, you know, of the Palestinian Authority, he says we are basically breaking the Oslo Accords. We're not going to honor any more accords with Israel. It's all broken. This is destabilizing the Middle East. You know, and then another just interesting kind of, and there's something very interesting here, is that the day after trumpets, and that's the day that seals all this, the day after trumpets began the formation of what we have now as Hurricane Joaquin. Now, I'm not saying that everything that happens has to be, but I want to share just something really interesting. It's the first time I've ever sharing this. Well, just interesting. You know, the template of all these things are that the same pattern that was in the last days of Israel have been warning signs have been happening in America. And the pattern, again, concerning a nation turning away from God, turning away from the Word, all these things. Well, a lot of people have been recently talking about the days of Jeremiah, because that was the last days before the destruction of Judah. And, you know, we're watching similar dynamics. Well, the king at the time of Jeremiah, evil king, was King Jehoiakim. He literally brought judgment to Israel. He's the one who tore up the word of God. He tore up Jeremiah's prophecies. He called good evil and all this stuff. Well, here's something. You know, we hear that Hurricane Joaquin, whatever happens, whether it peters out or not, the fact that this appears, never been a hurricane named Joaquin. Joaquin is Jehoiakim, is the king, is named after the evil king of Israel in Israel's last days when judgment came to Israel when it turned away from God with evil leadership. Now this is what we're dealing with. So just a note for those who are watching this, this is really a Hebrew name, the evil king of Israel, last days, judgment of Israel.
And what's interesting about that hurricane, that its sights are set right on the East Coast, going into possibly, our nation's capital and into New York.
Which is where, you know, nation's capital is where the leadership is. You know, and I'm not being political, but, you know, Jehoiakim was a king who opposed the word of God, who went against the ways of God, you know, and all these things. So, and we have, you know, just, you know, and that's saying all this is, you know, even to mention, we have just in the last 3 months, we have crossed a gigantic line. We have overruled the word of God massively. I mean, you know, and we have, you know, one of the words, Shemitah can mean the fall. It was during one of the Shemitahs that America struck down legalized the killing of the unborn in 1973. Well, now we have the striking down of marriage, and I shared with you, you know, the one of the keys before of really flashpoints of judgment is that before judgment comes, there's an act of desecration. And if anything was an act of desecration, it's to take the holy vessel of marriage, turn it against its purposes, and that's what happened. And then it was celebrated by the sign of the rainbow. The rainbow is a holy vessel of God. That's a second desecration. And thirdly, that night, the White House becomes a vessel of desecration as it is lit up in the colors of the rainbow. And I have to ask, you know, the rainbow is about judgment, mercy, you know, and the covenant. And, you know, the question is, you know, how much more can we do as a nation in the face of God to provoke judgment?
Yeah, all of these things are quite amazing when you look at them collectively. And I'll just say this, Jonathan, because I know that there are those that on the left that like to mock these things. But America has a history. Our leaders, actually, our presidents, our governors, when these things have happened in nature, like hurricanes, all of these external events that put our nation at risk. There's a long line of historical tradition here where we, not so much in recent years, but they had stepped back and said, is God trying to send us a message? And they have called upon the nation to pray. And that's your emphasis here and the emphasis that we put forth is that just as in Jeremiah's time, God was willing to spare the children of Israel if they would simply repent and turn back to him.
Yes, that is something. I mean, you know, Abraham Lincoln called for it in the midst of the Civil War, and there was a real turning point there. It was done again and again, and after the pattern, which is also again in this in the pattern of Israel, of the prayer, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. And I mentioned it at the Value Summit, but you know, it was when I was a new believer, I went to Washington, and it was a horrible time in America's history. This is the time of the end of Jimmy Carter's reign, the hostages in Iran, the economy in shambles, and there was a call for repentance among God's people in Washington. And I remember very well being there, standing on the Capitol Mall, and everybody praying that God would release the hostages, and they put their hands towards the Capitol saying, God, bring godly men or godly people into this, into the government. And then there was a revolution in the polls. This is when Reagan came in, moral majority came in, and he took the oath of office, and the very hour that he took the oath of office, the hostages were released, and he changed the venue of the inauguration to do it right where the prayers had been prayed, and standing on the very steps where their hands were pointed, and he had his hand on the Bible, and history literally changed. I mean, America, the course of history changed when that happened. His hand was on the Bible, on the verse that said, if my people who are called by my name, and it was given to him by his mother. He said that this is for the healing of nations. So, yeah, there's no, what I'll say at the end, you know, it always, as long as there's God, there's hope, but yes, it's going to come through revival. It's not going to come through Wall Street or Washington, and that is if my people, and the big word is if.
If, absolutely. Jonathan, we're up against a break. I want to thank you, Rabbi Kahn, for joining us again. Fascinating, always, every time I read your books, talk to you, it's thought-provoking. So thanks so much for being with us.
Always a blessing, Tony. Keep up the great work.
All right, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. And I have read both books cover to cover. Highly recommend them. All right, when we come back, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal joins me. He actually has defunded Planned Parenthood, and now he's teaching other governors how to do the same. Don't go away. We're back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this. Fear not. If you've read the Bible, you've read those words. But have you ever paused to meditate upon their meaning? In almost every case where God spoke those words, it preceded something extraordinary being done through ordinary people. God told people like Abraham, Gideon, and the apostles to reject their fears because fear holds us back from experiencing all that God wants to do in us and through us. We can't operate in fear and in faith. Faith says advance, fear says retreat. Do you want to know how to live with no fear? That's the focus of my new book, No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. You'll be inspired and hopefully challenged by the real-life stories of young people who are standing up for Jesus in an increasingly hostile culture. You'll also read the biblical accounts of those who stood for God in their day and learn how to stand in a way that honors Christ. Learn to live with a holy reverence for God, and you'll have no fear of man. For more information, go to TonyPerkins.com. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Again, let me direct your attention to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Not only can you find out information about today's guest and the topics we're covering, but I want to encourage you to listen to that short interview that I did earlier this week with Congressman Duncan Hunter of California about Sergeant First Class Charles Martlin in the United States Army, and sign that petition calling on the Army to back off of driving him out of the military for protecting an Afghan child. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, this week has been an extremely busy week on Capitol Hill. The Government House Oversight and Government Reform Committee led a hearing discussing the forced partnership between the American taxpayers and Planned Parenthood. The president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, was on Capitol Hill answering questions. Congress went on to this week to pass a continuing resolution, which unfortunately will fund Planned Parenthood through December. We'll see what happens then with new leadership. Many Republicans voted against it. The House also passed a measure that would allow states to cut the flow of taxpayer money to Planned Parenthood. But joining me now is a governor that has already cut his state's funding to the nation's largest abortion provider, and he is now showing other governors how to do the same. He happens to be the governor of my home state of Louisiana, Governor Bobby Jindal. Bobby, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you for having me on your show. It's great to be back with you.
Well, I'm going to start with this. You wasted no time after these videos came out about Planned Parenthood trafficking and baby body parts to take actions for calls to cut off state funding in Louisiana to Planned Parenthood.
That's exactly right. Tony, when the first video came out, we launched an investigation. They want to open an abortion clinic in New Orleans. We said we're not issuing any permits. Instead, we launched an investigation, asked the FBI and the state of Texas to join us. As the second and additional videos came out, we canceled their Medicaid contracts. They have two clinics in Louisiana. We wanted to make sure they're not getting any taxpayer dollars. So while they're talking about cutting them off in D.C., we're doing it in Louisiana. And, you know, they didn't like that. They decided to protest at the governor's mansion in Baton Rouge. So we showed those videos on a continuous loop over and over on outdoor screens. So they'd be forced to confront these barbaric videos. And, you know, I know they're trying to offer all kinds of confusing, you know, misdirection statements. Let's remember what this is really about. These are barbaric acts that are being described. Well, Tony, they ended up taking us to court, in federal court, and the Obama administration sent their lawyers to join them. So he doesn't have time to watch the videos. He's got time to sue us. But I don't care how many lawyers they send to Baton Rouge. I don't care how many times they take us to court. We're going to fight to protect innocent human life. So we've canceled their contracts. We want to make sure they're not getting any taxpayer dollars in Louisiana. And it is past time for Congress to do the same nationally. You and I are pro-life, but even folks that aren't pro-life, I believe, should be offended by these awful, awful videos, by what Planned Parenthood is doing, what these videos show that they've been up to.
Right. I mean, it's a forced partnership between taxpayers and Planned Parenthood, and taxpayers shouldn't be forced into this. Now, this bill that passed this week out of the House obviously has to go to the Senate, probably won't see the light of day, and certainly the president wouldn't sign it. But theoretically, a bill by Sean Duffy that would allow states to redirect this money from Planned Parenthood to other health clinics. Would this be helpful in preventing this legal action against the state if this were to pass?
Well, we've actually canceled their contract with cause. I'm very much in support of this bill. I think it would help other states to cancel their funding for Planned Parenthood. An open legal question, to answer your question quickly, it wouldn't directly impact our case, but it certainly could be helpful. If we were looking for another way and another reason to cut off their funding, that they don't do abortions in Louisiana, their parent entity does do abortions in Texas, so we would argue that under this bill, we could still cut them off for that reason. Look, I think states, I think governors all over the country should find ways to cut off their funding today, even without this bill. I think this bill would be certainly a good bill to pass. I mean, it'd be a good tool to have. And we have found a way to cut them off with cause, even without this bill. I think every state should cut off their funding. You know, the reality is, Tony, one of the things that frustrates me is Republicans in leadership, and especially in D.C., too many of our Republican friends always find ways to avoid doing anything. They'll tell you why we can't do something.
Right.
And instead of telling you that we can, we will, we're going to fight, and we're going to win, I'm not a fan of Pelosi or Reid or Obama at all, but I do admire a backhanded compliment to them. I admire the fact they fight for their principles. Too often, all you hear from Republicans is why they can't do something. If we can't protect innocent human life, if we can't defund Planned Parenthood, at some point you wonder, what good is having a Republican majority? What good is having this power if we're not going to do anything with it?
I agree. I mean, it's like the Republicans run into the battle waving a white flag. They surrender exactly. Before they even start. And I think that's why people are so frustrated with what's coming out of Washington, D.C. But I want to, Governor, ask you about, you said other states should do the same, and you're not just talking about it. You've actually sent instructions to Iowa Governor Terry Branstad on how to defund Planned Parenthood in his state.
That's right. The family, some folks of the family leader asked me if I'd be willing to do that. I said, certainly. We told them, we walked them through in our letter how we did it, why I think it'd be a good thing for the state of Iowa to do it, and I hope they will do that. I mean, I disagree with the governor on this. And you know, to your point, and I love that image, going into battle with the white flag of surrender. You know, I think that the Republican Party is in danger of becoming the surrender caucus. And we see that time and time again, especially in the House and the Senate and the establishment. But Tony, let's be honest. I don't, you know, right now you can either vote for an honest socialist in Bernie Sanders or lying conservatives in D.C. who tell us one thing and then do another. I think some of these Republicans in D.C. don't really share our values. I mean, they say what we want to hear to get elected. Then they get there and they're not willing to act on it. I remember Jeb Bush said we've got to be willing to lose the primary in order to win the general election. Let me translate that for you. That is the establishment and the Republican Party telling us, hide your conservative beliefs, hide right. Your values so the left and the media will like you. Tony, I'm here to tell you that never works. If we do that again, we will lose again. We will deserve to lose again. So I think a lot of these Republicans, they're more interested in the big business agenda than in the conservatives that elected them in the first place. But I love your image. You're exactly right. They're running into battle with that white flag of surrender. Mitch McConnell gave up this fight before it started. He said, you know, we couldn't get this done before the fight started. If he's not willing to lead, he should follow Boehner's example and step aside, and we should get a leader that will be willing to fight for our principles at least as hard as the other side's willing to fight for theirs.
And I think that's what those that put them into the majority are looking for, not to win every battle, but to at least fight. Governor, we're almost out of time, but I want to quickly ask you a question on foreign policy, because you've been very outspoken on the spread of radical Islam, apocalyptic Islam, and we see Russia moving into Syria with planes. The Middle East is a cauldron right now that's brewing, and I don't think the outcome is going to be good.
Tony, you're exactly right. So we have worked over 40 years ago. America, you know, we cemented our influence in the Middle East, drove the Soviet influence out. Now you've got Russia. Think about this, unholy alliance. You've got Russia, you've got Iranian troops, you've got Hezbollah. There are reports that Russia and Hezbollah have, you know, made some kind of understanding. No wonder Israel, our closest ally, is nervous about what's going on in their region. This all traces back to American weakness under Obama. He has created a vacuum, and that vacuum is provocative. Weakness is provocative to evil and our opponents. We said some things. We didn't follow through. We said there was going to be a red line. We said that Assad was going to go. We said we're going to hunt down ISIS. We didn't do those things. We need to do those things, fill that void. We must not let Russia and Iran link up with Hezbollah, link up with Assad, and create really influences that are not only bad for us, but bad for Israel as well. It's time for us to put force to our rhetoric, do what we said we were going to do, hunt down and kill these radical Islamic terrorists. It's time for Assad to go.
I hope we have time. This administration, I'm very concerned what's going to happen on their way out. Governor Bobby Jindal, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, appreciate you being on the program with us.
Tony, thanks for having me. And folks can go to bobbyjindal.com to learn more. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks so much. All right, folks, out of time for today. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Again, I encourage you to visit the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and the topics. And be praying for our nation. More than anything, we need to be praying for America. And go to the website, sign those petitions for us, and help us represent you on Capitol Hill. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.